Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 85, and today we are going to continue talking about the Out of Gehenna album, namely about the track called No Love for Tomorrow. So, this song has quite the history, and I'm looking at my notes here. It turns out that the very first version of the music for this, for whatever will later become this song, was written as far back as in 2004. And it was intended, I guess, it could have become an instrumental track, it could have remained that way, or it could have become a song within the context of a totally different album. So back in 2004, I had a project I was working on, an idea for an album. I wanted to write something along the lines of a change of seasons, you know, like Dream Theater did, or like the classical composers when they would, you know, dedicate a piece per month or something like that, or per time of year, something along those lines. So I kind of wanted to do the same stuff, but I wanted to do it, of course, in metal music, in prog metal music, of course. And at the time, because it was limited in my production, I didn't have any live guitars, it was all programmed, it was all electronic. However, I was making my attempts at it. And so the very first version of, you know, the music for what now is known as No Love for Tomorrow was written back in 2004 as a full track, actually, a full finished track. One of the few finished tracks for that album. And then in 2005, there was another version that was slightly different, and I wanted to take that kind of James Bondian theme that is the dominant theme in this song, and to repurpose it, to create another piece that would quote the original track. I wanted to make an overture out of this, because for that album, Hard Six Seasons, which I was working on back in 2004-05, I wanted an overture. I dreamt big, and I was going for big things. The album never made it to fruition. Other projects occupied my mind, other projects did come to fruition. This one never really did. But it's okay. After all, something positive came out of it, you know. At least it became a song in the end. So there are these two older versions, and they're a lot more complex. There's a lot more stuff going on. The song that we're talking about, No Love for Tomorrow, on the Out of Gehenna album, in its current released form, was written somewhere between 2008 and 2009. I, again, have it in my notes here that the WAV backtrack file, to which I would then record the vocals, was saved on June 26th, 2009. So that was not in 2008. I was probably working on this track for a while, for a few months, and then I kind of just, I usually work at several tracks at a time. And that doesn't mean that when you see the end date, the creation date, right? It doesn't mean, I don't know, the excuse me, the bounce out date, you know, whenever I've been bounced out a mixdown. You know, that doesn't mean that I've made it in one day. You know, it's quite likely that I've been working on it for months at that point, or maybe weeks, or maybe days. You know, it sort of depends. It's very hard to pinpoint exactly how long was I on this track. I just don't remember. It probably took me some time to write the lyrics. And once again, just like the previous song, this is not a happy song. It is not a happy song at all, because, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in my life, and not a lot of it was panning out for me, to put it mildly. It was pretty difficult and pretty intense. So, and at the time I was drawing my conclusions, and I was learning things about this and that, and, you know, and I was getting disillusioned, and I was growing up, and I was trying not to become cynical, but I was sensitive to a lot of things, and there was heartbreak going on, and there was hardship going on, a lot of stuff. And all of it is reflected in the song. I have to note, however, that the song ends, if you read the lyrics, which you can, on genius.com, if you find Catherine Corelli, No Love for Tomorrow lyrics, you can find it on genius.com. So, however, I will note that the song kind of ends well because there is at least a sliver of hope. Unlike Bitch, you know, the previous track that I was talking about, this song at least ends kind of well, you know. It's like, well, I can try to be better and I will just keep trying and then I will become better. And I tried to believe, and I'm sure that he loves me infinitely. That's the last line in the song. I am sure that he loves me infinitely. You know, I was rapping it infinitely instead of infinitely. It's kind of... This line, by the way, alludes to God. So it's like, if I fail with all of these guys over here, and if that doesn't pan out, and then this doesn't pan out, and whatever, at least I'm hoping that maybe God loves me enough. And I trusted that God loves me enough, otherwise I wouldn't be such a lucky girl, you know, to be here today. But anyways, I just wanted to throw in this bit of information because I think that you can read the lyrics for yourself and it's pretty much all obvious stuff. But I just wanted you to know that, you know, this is the reference there in the end, and actually I see it kind of as a struggle song with kind of a hint of positivity in the end. That's how I see it. But anyways, now that I got some of the lore out of the way, let's get to the music analysis. And there's not a lot really, but I will try to summarize. All right, so let's move on to the next section, shall we? To the music analysis. First and foremost, the song is in the key of E minor, a very simple key, and it's 110 BPM. It has kind of an abstract intro where things are starting to crystallize, you start to get out of a kind of rather dark filter and everything kind of messy there, and then it starts to show more and more and more until you start to hear a prominent bassline, which moves on throughout the entire track with the rhythm associated with it. And then you also have the main melody, which will later become the hook melody, show up as well. So let's listen, I think, to the all the way from the beginning through the first verse and until the end of the first hook. Oh, So what we have here is, as I said, in the very beginning, things are starting to get out of that filter. And they build up and they build up and they build up. And then there is this melody. This later becomes the hook, but right now it shows up just on top of the already existing bass riff. Then we're moving on to the verse, and again, it's the same rhythm in the bass, nothing really changes, and it's a rather simplistic drum kit that's going on there. Basically the same riff. Aha. Okay, so it goes E, C, E, C, E, C, E, B flat, then again, E, C, E, C, then A, G sharp, F, flat major plus 7 back to E minor. And then after that we're going into the first hook, and the first hook almost sounds very minimalist because it doesn't have any change to it. It's basically the repetition of the intro. And the chords here are the same, it's just that it gets a little bit reinforced with some more drums. Same story, just like in the intro. So the first hook is kind of, as far as the chord progression, there is nothing. It's E, C, E, C, E minor, C major, E minor, C major, and then all of a sudden, B flat major. But then, everything kind of starts to bloom and open up a little bit more once we move on to the second verse. So this time now, I'm going to play all the way till the middle section, and then I'm going to go through that, alright?
Because the pedophile is coming to have every breath. Listen, you can just hide on that. What am I doing?
Okay, so the second verse is again a repetition of the same chord progression, right? Like the first verse. E minor, C major plus 7, back to E minor. B flat in the bass, and here it kind of sits on the E minor, but not really. Back to E minor, C major, A minor, and over a G sharp in the bass, to F major, F natural, mind you. So for a brief moment, it becomes kind of a Phrygian minor. So, and that repeats twice. And there is the rapping that's going on in the back, you know, on top of this. And then we're moving into the second hook. And the second hook is, all of a sudden, has a different chord progression. So, this time, the hook, all of a sudden, becomes, the chord progression becomes a lot richer, and that creates variety, and it also, there is also the piano introduced, of course, that plays something like this. A lot of motion, basically, and a lot of variety, and leads to more escalations. So, what chords are there? This time there is an A minor in the bass, then it goes up to a C major plus 7, E minor minus 7, G major plus 7, A minor minus 7, C major plus 7, E minor minus 7, and then a D major. And then after that, we're moving into the middle section. But first, let's listen to it. We're still in the same A minor, but it's a very chromatic and very weird-ass kind of sequence here. These are very odd chords. They kind of sound... this whole section is not really chord-based. It's in the riff, because there's a bass riff basically going on. And when I'll be reworking this album, making it heavier, Of course, this will be the job of the guitars and the bass to emphasize this riff, but I think I'll preserve this riff because it's kind of interesting. I'm not playing it right now. I'm substituting the riff line, whatever is going on in the bass, with just chords to illustrate the chord progression. A minor, E flat major plus 7, C major plus 7, F sharp major, G major, and then over a passing B back to A minor, E flat major plus 7, C major plus 7, then an F sharp major, F major, then there is a pause, and then after that we're going into the third verse. But before we go into the third verse, the melody on top of this riff is fairly simple. And then we're going into the third verse. Let's listen from here on till the end. I tried and I tried to be good, kept on trying and trying, if any would be. I tried and I tried to believe, never doubt that collapse infinitely. Variation of the verse, and it's almost the same chord progression, but there's just a little note there, a Phrygian F flat, that kind of changes the flavor of it. You see, it's basically an E minor. Well, alternate between E minor and E major. With this F, with an F natural there, which makes it pretty dark. Basically, if we're looking just at the bass, the chord progression is exactly the same like in the previous verses. And then after that, we're going into a double hook, and we're repeating the second version of the hook, which means that it starts with an A minor.
Mm-hmm.
and it repeats twice, and then after that, we're going into an outro, and remember the third verse that I just played. This is repurposed for an outro, and there's a little bit of text, a little bit of lyrics going on there, and this is where we're basically wrapping the song up, and then it kind of dies out. So, basically, the basic structure of the song is pretty simple, I'd say, as far as chord progression as well. Yeah, it has a few twists, but again, it's rather simplistic, I'd say. A pretty straightforward song, very simple structure, everything is very transparent and straightforward. I think I'll be preserving this structure, maybe with a few modifications, on the remake version of the Out of Gehenna album, which is going to be called Into Gehenna, and which I will be focusing on once I'm done with the Take the Jive Reforged. Alright, so with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, I almost say every time as you can see, but actually as you can hear, No Love for Tomorrow is not a difficult song. It's also not a depressing song. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but it's mostly almost like sarcastic, a little bit angry. It has a point, and then it kind of concludes in the end with the brighter note of hope, let's put it this way. As far as music, all songs on this album are pretty straightforward. It's not like on the Overcome album where you had like massive structures, you know, which extended occasionally for more than 10 minutes, you know, something like, I don't remember what was the longest track on Overcome, probably a 12-minute track, Sunrise Overture probably, or something, Running Overture probably. Yeah, massive structures. Or Hero Torture, that song, for example, on Overcome. Massive, huge, lots of themes, lots of cross-references. You don't have this kind of scope of intertwined cross-references on this album. It just doesn't happen. These songs are a lot simpler, and I wanted deliberately to keep them very simple. Because I wanted to focus on the lyrics, and I wanted to focus on whatever sparse melodies, hook melodies for the most part, I was throwing in, and I wanted them to get the most attention. I think I will kind of try to follow this formula, generally speaking, on the remade version of this album, which is going to be Into Gehenna. I think I'll just call it Into Gehenna, and take it from the top. It's not a horribly dark song, really. It's kind of... There's a lot of bravado here, obviously. And in whichever case, you know what? If you haven't heard any of my music, of course, I want to invite you to check out my music. And you can easily find me if you look for Catherine Corelli, Catherine with a C, Corelli with a C. Find me on any major streaming platform, be that Spotify or Apple or iTunes or even YouTube. Of course, if you're going to check me out on YouTube, I have an official artist channel. You can check me out there. I have a couple of playlists. One of them is Cat Talk, where I'm actually talking not about music. For the most part, I'm not talking about music there at all. But I got a Cat Vibes playlist on my YouTube channel, where I'm showing my recording process and just casual footage, you know, vlog kind of stuff, and I'm constantly adding new little clips to it. So it's a large playlist. There's a lot of stuff to look at, and I'm featuring my music there a lot. But most importantly, I'm showing my recording process and just production process videos. So if you're interested, I want to definitely invite you to check me out on YouTube as well. If you haven't heard this song, if you haven't heard this album, go ahead, check it out, listen to it, you know, stream it on whichever platform is, you know, your most favorite. If you want to leave me some feedback, if you want to directly reach out to me and say a few words, you can always reach out to me via email, ladycatherinecorelli@gmail.com. I think with that being said, I will be wrapping up this episode. I don't want to overextend it. But before I go, I want to invite you to check out my other business, which is southerncaracol.com, skin health and aromatherapy products. What makes my products different is we have only all natural products, which are made out of all natural ingredients. So you don't have any harsh chemicals, no parabens, no sulfates, none of that at all. We have shampoo bars, we got oatmeal honey soap, which comes in various shapes and sizes and scents. We have aromatherapy soaps, we're out of stock on bath bombs, but that is going to be replenished very soon. We have a CBD bar, this is our newest invention, CBD oatmeal and honey soap bar. We got three of them. We got an unscented, we got a bourbon tobacco, and we got a jasmine apricot. Go to our website, southerncaracol.com, southern, from the word south, caracol, C-A-R-A-C-A-L, southerncaracol.com. Check out our products for yourself, pick something for yourself or for your friends and relatives, and your skin and the skin of your friends and relatives will help you in the end. Our soap is very good, our oatmeal and honey soap line is very good for dry skin, eczema, psoriasis, acne. It has a deeply moisturizing effect. It doesn't damage your skin, doesn't dry it out. It does exactly the opposite. Plus, we have lotions, which are very well combined with the soap. And we also got shampoo bars. And our shampoo bars are good at fighting dandruff and also eczema, dry skin, etc. So if you have a dry scalp, or you have a very greasy scalp, our shampoo bars might actually help you restore the proper pH of your scalp and your hair. So, with that being said, thank you very much for being with me. I appreciate you, and you will hear me on the next episode.